We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we're here talking about history, and on the radio, we're going to talk about right now the El Paso History Moment, written and produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And her moment today is about a major 1917 boxing match in El Paso.
Deming Crack KO'd by Pennsylvania Bearcat. March 9th, 1917, the Smeltertown Fight Arena was packed with fight fans from Deming, New Mexico, El Paso, and military troops who came from Fort Bliss and numerous punitive expedition encampments located around El Paso. The Pennsylvania 3rd Infantry Band and Deming's local band were taking turns performing, and the musical finale was Smeltertown Arena favorite Bob Swisher performing Dixie Doodle. There were other fights that night, but one bout everyone wanted to witness was between Deming's Freddie Anderson, the Deming Crack, and Tommy O'Toole, the Pennsylvania Bearcat, and an Army infantryman from El Paso's Camp Cotton. The bell rings. O'Toole's chief stock in trade is the pile drive swing. Time after time, Tommy lands punches, causing Freddie to cover up. But Freddie uncorks a couple of wild rights, one dropping Tommy to the canvas for only a second. Early in the going, Freddie shows mighty well, but as the battle grew warmer and Tommy keeps up his rapid-fire pace all the way, by the 16th round, Tommy gives Freddie the final punch that knocks out the Deming Crack. They said Freddie was out before he hit the canvas. The arena erupted with cheers. The servicemen whooped, and what a final showing it was, too. For the next day, Private Tommy O'Toole and his division were boarding the train home to Pennsylvania. Tommy would be home in time to celebrate St. Patrick's Day with his family. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
I went online and there's Bernie with a shillelagh. Look out for him. You know, he's a
leprechaun.
He often is. So anyway, they're out doing stuff. Bernie's over in the parade.
Yeah.
But you can call him to get involved in this if you want. Or you can get a hold of Melissa next week. You know, she'll be here in 2 weeks. You're coming in next week as well.
I get to come back. I'm very happy about it.
And when next week we're doing John Hauser tribute. That'll be interesting. Okay. Oh, in the meantime, though, the El Paso History Alliance are on Facebook.
It's on Facebook. It has more than 45,000 followers. You can check it out online. Or call Bernie Sargent for more information at 915-581-7920. We also need to mention a great partner in El Paso history, Barbara Givenbaney, who was one of the people who operates the Facebook page called Remember in El Paso When. She works with some administrators to do a terrific job. And another administrator who works with her is Rick Duncan. So check them out on Facebook.
Very good stuff. Bill Helm is still here. We're going to talk about downtown El Paso architecture and things of that ilk.
Yes.
I'm betting you, Bill Helm, that you occasionally go on that history page looking for stuff.
I do.
I think you would because, I mean, they have an archive that won't quit.
Yes. So speaking of archives.
What have you been doing lately besides all this other Frank Lloyd Wright stuff, which is not only impressive, but that's fun for you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That was just sort of a fun little side project besides what we do every day to keep busy.
But you do get paid for those side projects.
Yes,
right? Oh, even better,
yeah.
Even better. Yeah. So, all right, what are you doing now? The Blue Flame you got involved
in. So we got our hands in a lot downtown. One of them is the Blue Flame building, and my firm In Situ Architecture that I started, we launched formally in 2012. So we've been around a few years now.
In Situ
Architecture.
S-I-T-U, which means in place.
That's right.
Kind of.
That's Latin for in place.
Very nice.
So we have been specializing in historic work since we started. And so one thing we did this past year, which was new to us, and we got glowing reviews from Texas Historic Commission on, was we nominated the El Paso Natural Gas, commonly known as the Blue Flame Building, mm-hmm. to the National Register. It takes about a year to complete that. We did the first preliminary determination application in December of 2016, and it formally went at the national level on the National Register mid-February.
That's a great recognition of the value of architecture, but I'll bet a lot of people think the Blue Flame Building, I mean, it's no older than I am. When was it built? I mean, people don't realize history moves on and as you grow older.
So they began design in 1950-52. It actually was completed and occupied in 1955. And it's significant in a number of ways, but it's one of my favorite downtown buildings.
Oh, yeah?
It probably is my favorite downtown building of everything I've worked on. Specifically because I love the modernist era that it came from. And it's classic mid-century architecture.
Right.
And it's certainly the best example of a mid-century skyscraper that we have in El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
And it's largely intact.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah. So that's why we decided to nominate it. Because it really needed the historic tax credits to be able to be rehabbed for any use, whether that was office or what it's currently being planned for now is a combination of housing and commercial spaces.
Mm-hmm.
But just to fund a project of that scale, a high rise where you're having to do a full rehab, replace all the mechanical systems in it.
Oh, wow.
It just takes an incredible amount of money. So we needed to qualify it for the tax credits at the federal and state level, and getting it on the National Register did just that.
It's a great honor. And as you say, it's also a great economic opportunity because of the tax credits that come with that standing. Who was the architect of that building? Is it an important name we would know?
So there's an important name associated with it, although the final design was not his, but was sort of based on his original concept. So that architect's name is Kenneth Fronsheim. He practiced most of the later part of his career in the Houston area. He designed a lot of high-rise buildings. He started doing that in New York City and then mm-hmm. moved to Houston. And he's a very important Texas architect. So the first conceptual work that came out and was published, which we found in our research, it was concepts and models designed by Fronsheim.
Mm-hmm.
And then he began partnering with the local firm, Carroll and Dobell, who's a very prominent El Paso mid-century firm. And they've designed, you know, they had their hands all over a lot of projects.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, when we don't know how or how this happened, but ultimately Fronsheim falls out of the picture in the history of the design. And Carroll and Dobell take the original concepts and take it forward through working drawings, and then that's what gets built.
And mid-century modern is really kind of hot right now, isn't it? In homes and other places, and Pinterest is full of mid-century modern things.
Yeah, so we have, in my opinion, we have two really great mid-century architectural works, one being the Blue Flame Building,
mm-hmm.
and the other one that I'm working with the owners on is Temple Mount Sinai.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
And we have a couple of years ago done a study on how that building can be rehabbed and reused, mm-hmm. and taken into the future for that congregation. And so we'll see what happens. I'd like to help them put that on the National Register, too, just because I think it deserves the recognition.
When was it built?
I don't have that date in front of me, but it was around the same era. I think it's a little later, 1960, that it was completed, 61.
Sounds about right, what I remember.
And then, so there was it's an entire complex, if you've ever been up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a very grand mid-century main sanctuary,
mm-hmm.
and then they came back 2 years later and built a little chapel, and both are beautiful spaces.
So now, just for people who may not be familiar with Temple Mount Sinai, it's the large white building with the sort of
It's apex? Called a nose.
A nose. Okay, that's a very nice architectural term. You can see it on the west side from a lot of places along Mesa and other places. It's very distinctive.
The metal artwork in there was done by Wilkes Harrison.
Really?
A professor at UTEP. And he taught people like Susan Eisen how to be a jeweler, if that does anything for you. But, I mean, Wilkes does those
work
big,
in metal. Yeah.
Those big brass doorknobs and the stuff decorating. That's famous stuff, too.
And that was designed by who was a world-famous architect in his era, a very significant American Jewish architect named Sidney Eisenstadt. He worked out of Los Angeles. He's well known for his temple designs, which the story goes he donated those designs to the congregation. So he'd come in and he'd do like the conceptual design, and then he'd hand it off to a local who also, in this case, happened to be Carol and Dobell.
Mm-hmm.
Carol
and Dobell. And many of these buildings were built. I think every building we've talked about so far, other than the Pottery House, were built by Robert McKee.
Oh, my.
Another big name.
Huge name.
So McKee built Temple Mount Sinai. He built Blue Flame Building. One of his first ones, which we'll talk about in a little bit, was Plaza Hotel.
Wow.
Interesting stuff. We'll move on to another building because we have some time here. You want to talk about the hotel or where do you want to go? Because now, you're working with Paul Foster on several of these buildings, right?
Yeah, let's talk about the hotel.
All right.
Okay.
So the Plaza Hotel, I think, has captured a lot of people's imagination because it has been dormant for so long and people haven't been able to go use it. So we're also working on Paso del Norte across the street, and both are great trust buildings and great legacies for El Paso. And it's so great to see, you know, these properties being brought back by both the developers involved.
Is there something coming between those two buildings? Is there going to be a high rise of parking or something?
It's not high-rise, but there's on the two vacant lots behind Plaza Hotel along El Paso Street, there's going to be a parking structure built to serve the hotels, both of them, and provide other downtown parking, which is really needed.
I would think so. And is it going to go down any?
It's not going down. It's going up.
Okay.
I think it's five or six decks of parking.
Mm-hmm.
That'll help. That's good.
Yeah, so it'll help nicely frame Pioneer Plaza.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's it like to be kind of like the next generation Trost kind of guy? I mean, you may or may not have that fame at this point. You may get that fame. But in the meantime, you're doing kind of the next generation of downtown because it hasn't been touched in decades.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that
comparison.
Comparison, yeah. I guess. Well, but I will say that, you know, I'm not from El Paso. I love El Paso. I'm an adopted El Paso, and I've been here in and out of El Paso for 20 years.
That makes you a native.
1997.
10 years makes you a native.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm native now.
There you go.
My
just
mom
now.
Will
just
argue
now.
That with you. She's watching.
Uh-huh.
But when I was finishing grad school in Buffalo, where Wendy's from, I had a choice of staying in Buffalo or going somewhere else in the world or coming back to El Paso. And I came back to El Paso for many of the reasons that Trost came here, because it was a place in transition that I loved and that you could really be involved in projects at a significant level that you wouldn't be able to as a young architect elsewhere in the country. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, had a great love for El Paso and wanted to come back and contribute to that. And so it's been a lot of fun.
You've been working here for quite a while, and as you got your architectural degree.
Yeah. So I was working in the region since 2005, began helping manage a local office in 2008, and then launched In Situ Architecture in 2012. And so we're now over 5 years old, pushing six.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to find you, it's I-N, second word, S-I-T-U, in situ.
Yeah. And you can find us as In Situ Architecture on Facebook, or our website is InSituArc.com.
And that's you're designing things for anybody now.
Yeah.
And so what big? And you just did a West Side Pool. You've done a bunch of stuff. List some of those things because you went back to a building. What did you mention earlier?
The W.S. Hills building.
Yeah.
Right?
What is that?
So you just mentioned West Side Pool. There's a grand opening in a couple weeks on
April 7th.
Saturday, April 7th. So everybody needs to come out to that. It's a great facility. It's one of the first major bond projects. It's a 50-meter natatorium. It's a facility we haven't had in El Paso ever. So the swimming community has really been in anticipation of this project forever. The W.S. Hills building is sort of a new venture. It's our first venture into property real estate development as architects. So myself, my business partner, Edgar Lopez, we've got a couple other partners, including Rita Asfahani, who's with Root Architects. That's his firm. And then Mustafa Rifa, who somebody knows, a restaurateur mm-hmm. around town. Right. He's developed restaurants. He's right. also done some property development. He did that building at 801 Piedras, which was a historic building that's like Salt and Honey is in, and there's some lofts in there.
That building.
So
fabulous.
Yeah, in the Five Points area. So we bought last year in September another Trost building downtown. It's half a block from the Plaza Hotel called the W.S. Hills building. It was completed in 1927, designed by Trost and Trost. It's one of their sort of classic concrete frame buildings. It was built by Mrs. W.S. Hills to honor her husband, Mr. W.S. Hills.
Uh-huh.
And he was an attorney from St. Louis that came to El Paso in 1979. And he was 1879.
Just
so
missing
it. There's a real strong connection in that era between El Paso business and St. Louis. So he came from St. Louis and he was administering a real estate trust, essentially, a real estate trust for the Campbell family after Robert Campbell's death in October 1879.
The soup company?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, sorry.
But if you've looked at history of El Paso maps at all, you may have seen, or you may own property that references the Campbell addition to El Paso.
I've seen that, yeah.
And W.S. Hills is probably second only to Anson Mills in terms of creating a blueprint for future downtown development, like organizing the streets. So one major, you know, influence was Anson Mills' work, mm-hmm. and then W.S. Hills followed on that. And through his work, establishing what became the Campbell addition to the city of El Paso plan, organized a lot of the streets, was able to get right-of-ways so that a lot of the streets in downtown aren't winding like they would have been otherwise.
There were some messes down there that Mills cleaned up. Bill Helm said, we need to take a break, Bill, and then sell some soap and do some trivia. Did we cover all the trivia, Wendy? I didn't even notice if we did.
No, we have second-hour questions that refer back to what we were talking about in the first hour with Richard Poe and Bill. The first question is, where was the Pottery House originally supposed to be built?
Oh, come on. He knows that.
Well, Bill.
Oh, you're not asking him.
I'm not asking Bill. We're asking the audience, the listeners.
So we're going back to first hour questions and giving away some stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think they were listening?
I sure hope so.
You think
so.
They're still here?
Yes.
Do you think they care? They probably care. Oh, what was that question again?
Where was the Pottery House originally supposed to be built?
Oh, I know this. Yeah. And the second question is?
What similarities do the Pottery House and the Abraham Chavez Theater share?
All right, we're reaching back into the first hour. If you weren't here, that's tough. But if you were, you might know these things.
And it was fascinating stuff.
And
you should have been here.
You got another Pepe certificate this hour.
Or a DVD.
DVD. And they have to call us to answer these questions?
Please call at 915-544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
The Harley Owners Group, better known as the Hogs, live for the rides. And there's a pretty long list of places we've been known to show up. But this weekend, we're going to show down. The journey isn't a long one. In fact, we aren't even leaving town. After meeting up at Barnett Harley-Davidson in El Paso, we'll ride over to the Showdown Fest at the Coliseum Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There'll be music and food and merchant booths. Plus, there'll be a tattoo competition, a freak show, and Vince Neil of Motley Crue. Try not to get them confused. However, for the main event, there's the Harley Jumpstart Experience. The stationary motorcycle, where you can have the thrill of firing up the ignition, switching gears, and taking it up to 60 miles an hour without ever moving an inch. Yeah, it's as fun as it sounds. And it all starts at Barnett Harley-Davidson, or when you click on BarnettHarley.com. Because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
you could win a grand in your hand.
What? $1,000?
$1,000 is up for grabs every hour, weekdays.
When you think of landscaping or custom outdoor living spaces, call the pros at BC Pro Landscape Contractors, a reliable and trustworthy company serving El Paso for over 25 years. BC Pro Landscape Contractors. Call today for your News Radio 690 discount, 915-598-9049.
El Paso Pro Musica presents the ultimate trio, Grammy Award-winning cellist Zool Bailey, concertmaster of the New York City Ballet, Kurt Nickinen, and violist Scott Rawls in concert and in a residency with UTEP Center for Arts Entrepreneurship. Don't miss them in Las Cruces Wednesday, March 28th in a Twilight Tour at the Double Eagle at 6 o'clock and Thursday, March 29th at UTEP's Fox Fine Arts Recital Hall at 7:30. For tickets, go to eppm.org or call 747-8163.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Got a lot going on here. Eric Kappas is a speaker out at the Archaeology Museum on April 21. A little ways ahead there, just to give you a heads up. 2 o'clock, they do this on a regular basis. Eric came back to El Paso and created the a school of geology.
A course of geology.
A course of geology.
At Southwest University.
And so he's become their department. So
he is.
Well, he was on a radio show. I got all these calls and questions. How do I find him? So I kept telling people, here he is.
Yeah.
So he's speaking everywhere now. So he's coming up. Go ahead.
And then he's also going to speak at a Scenic Sunday event on Sunday, April 29th, which is also a walk through time. It's from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Scenic Point. And Eric will be one of the speakers talking about the geology of the El Paso region, along with Anthony Alvarez from EPISD, Melissa Aris-Goodman with the Texas Trove Society, Phil Goodell, a famed geologist at UTEP, and the famous Jackson Polk of the El Paso History Radio Show.
I think I may tell some Lost Padre mine stories. Ooh. You know, walking around up there, like, oh, I think it was right here. Wait a minute, maybe it's over here. But, you know, there were a lot of Lost Padres.
They just wandered around.
They were putting mines all over the place. Anyway, that'd be fun.
Not all who wander are lost.
Well, and if you found a Lost Padre mine, would you tell us? I doubt it.
I don't think so, buddy.
All right, we got callers here. We got stuff to do. We got Diana and Anna. Let's go to Diana in the order that you call. Good morning, Diana. Diana, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I can hear you.
Let's talk about trivia. What do you say?
All right.
You sound very good.
The trivia question is, where was the Pottery House originally supposed to be built?
I believe it was supposed to be built in Santa Teresa.
Yay!
You were listening. Yay!
So you got a choice of Pepe's $20 or a DVD or one or the other.
What would you like
as your
prize?
I would like to take that Pepe's.
Pepe's for Diana on line one.
Yes.
Have you been there?
No, I've driven past it almost on a daily basis.
Well,
I want to go.
It's an unusual little place. Bill, you've been there a time or two, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Pepe's is a wonderful place. It's got the old Griggs food recipes, not the old food.
Whoa.
It's new food.
Using the old recipes.
Old recipes, new food.
Historic recipes.
Historic, that is a good word. Anyway, so, Danny, you got that? And appreciate you. Anything else on your mind this morning?
No, I'm just appreciating the program. I was hoping to inspire my youngest daughter because she wants to be an architect.
Oh, boy.
But she's feeling a little under the weather this morning, so she crawled back into bed.
Well, we'll have this on podcast in about a week, so you can look it up there.
Yeah, she can listen to it later.
That's at ephistory.com. Diana, thanks for calling. Hold on here.
Congratulations.
Thank you a lot. And Shelley will tell you how to pick that up. Going to Anna. We had a die Anna, and now we have an Anna without the die. Hello, Anna. Good morning. Hello, hello. Put us on. Take us off speakerphone if you can.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Wendy, talk to this lady.
Okay, the second trivia question is, what similarities do the Pottery House and the Abraham Chavez Theater share? Anna?
What similarities do they share? The intersecting circle?
Oh, very good.
Intersecting circles, Bilhelm.
Yes.
All right, he's going to take that.
Good.
We're going to take that.
And the other answer could have been Bilhelm, or could have been the architect.
Well, architectural inspiration, I guess we should say.
Yeah. Okay, you got it no matter what, Anna, so there you go. All right, and hold on. Shelly, tell you how to pick that up. Anything else on your... Oh, what did you win?
Would you like... Oh, you have to... A DVD.
Sell her a DVD.
All right, Anna, we have several DVDs to choose from. El Paso's Moncrief Soray.
Waco Tanks.
Legends of El Paso's Mountains. Waco Tanks. Jack really likes Waco Tanks. It has lots of animals and history and petroglyphs.
A bonus question. I'll give you a second DVD. If you could tell me what's the most unusual animal that lives at Waco Tanks. Or it's a critter.
The Waco Tanks?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, that would be a fun video to have.
Okay, you get that video anyway, but can you, for a second question, you've already got the Waco Tanks video. For a second question, what's the most unusual animal living being at Waco Tanks? Not the Rangers.
The most unusual?
Yes.
Animal.
Living thing at Waco Tanks.
In Waco Tanks, most unusual.
Yeah.
One that you find out there.
Okay, no, I'm going to give it to you for the one.
This is a tough question.
You get one DVD and your phone's going worse. So, Shelly, on line three, she gets a DVD. Here's the answer to the question. The most unusual critter. Bilhelm, do you know this one?
I don't. I'll guess.
It's shrimp.
Really?
They have four different kinds of shrimp. Shelly got that one right.
Uh-huh. Wow.
They have four different kinds of shrimp they found. And the little eggs go dormant in the Wacos, and
when the rain
shows up, they wake up and reproduce in about a day and a half, and then go dormant again.
And I would guess when they come to life that, like birds and things, descend on the Wacos
sure.
and eat them.
Oh yeah, little foxes.
They're little tiny things.
Well, yeah, then they can't go very far because they're in a Waco. I mean, how far can you swim to the other end of the Waco?
Pretty much.
At 3 feet, and then they eat them. Anyway, that's enough of that. Moving on to other things here. I do want to tell you who's coming in here next week. We do have a whole list of people. Next week, we're going to talk about a artist, John Hauser, his life. He passed away in January. He was with the 12 Travelers Monument. He basically created that. Mm-hmm. Art historian Adair Margo is coming in here, along with El Paso Museum of Art director Dr. Victoria Ramirez and UTEP professor, that would be Melissa Warwick.
Yeah.
And she teaches a course on Tom Lee. And the reason all that's together is because Tom Lee created the 12 Travelers concept.
That's right.
And he was for a set of menus or something.
Do you know where one of his... studios was
where?
In the Hills building.
In the W.S. Hills building.
Yay! You get a prize. Bilhelm, in fact, we'll give you a certificate to Pepe's if you want one. But you're right that the history is amazing because what Tom Lee then did, he inspired Hauser. Hauser then took those things that Tom Lee drew on paper.
That's right.
And he started building them 3D straight up in the air for many, many feet.
Monumental.
And so here's another connection back to what we're talking about, that the menus that he was using those for, Tom Lee, was he created them or at least sold them to the Paso del Norte Hotel.
Of course. I got one more for you. What did John Hauser name his son? Ethan, and what's the middle name?
Oh.
I know.
I don't know.
You ready? Taliesin.
Really?
That's the kid's name.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Ethan Taliesin.
Shining brow.
Frank
Lloyd Wright.
Hauser. And so he's the next one coming up.
I'd go by Taliesin.
Well, he may. Now that we've made it famous on this radio show. But anyway, they're coming in next week to talk about that. March 31st, a review of the Chamizal presentation of Siglo del Oro and a discussion with El Paso Symphony and El Paso Youth Symphony. They're part of this year's Siglo del Oro presentations.
Very nice.
April 7th, William Beaumont Hospital. We've never had them in here. We'll see what they're up to. They're building a museum kind of wall thing. They want some help. April 14, Mission Trail back in, talking about things in Socorro, along with the Genealogy Society coming in the same day, talking about their celebrations of the Mission Trail. And the story of World War II Company E on April 21st.
What a story that is.
Well, not only is it a heck of a story, it's now going toward making them into a movie.
Oh,
so
awesome.
So we got to ask the author to come back. He's going to do more book signings and talk about the movie business. Preservation Month of April, and April 28th. And Lincoln County War, May the 5th. What was that all about? Huge war up in southern New Mexico. Lasted a few days, a bunch of cowboys killing each other.
I think there have been movies about that.
Well, there's going to be more discussion. But see, not everybody can explain what it was about.
Yeah.
We asked Herb Marsh to come in here And he is a former El Paso judge, and he studies this stuff, and don't argue with him.
And he owns part of Lincoln County now.
He's a resident up there. More preservation, crest collection. We got stuff galore coming in here, so that'll be a lot of fun. All right, where are we going now here? We got to do some another break. So he wants another break. Call us if you need to. Otherwise, post a picture on Facebook. And Barbara, given Bainey, sent me some personal pictures on Facebook. Put them on your site, Barbara, because she had the flame building going on down there.
Oh, great.
And
nice.
Also the question of lunch today. Oh, there's a menu there, Bill Helm. Could you find that menu in the bottom of that pile under your computer and pull that out? We need to have a pick from you of one of the specials today. Whatever one you pick becomes a special. So the Oñate special at Pepe's today is...
Pick one. Anything.
First, the green chili cheese enchiladas.
That happens Yay. Three times a month. Those are very popular. Green chili cheese enchiladas is a special today at Pepe's. I think the rest of us are going to go to the block up the street here. But where are you going? Shelly wants to go. Oh, to Crave.
Crave.
Shelly changed it to
Wrestler.
So we're going to stay in town. We're not going to go out to Pepe's. So everybody else go to Pepe's and get the green chili cheese enchiladas on the special. That means it's only $6.
All right. Walk
in, ask for the Oñate special, and that's what you get, green chili cheese enchiladas.
All right, special.
Taking a break today, coming back, look at Facebook, 544-whatever.
5876-544-KTSM.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
What would you do if you won the lottery? Maybe take a long vacation, Bahamas, Maui, Paris. Maybe fill an entire pool with nacho cheese and have the world's biggest nacho party. Maybe get that tractor you've always wanted. Well, the Texas Lottery has paid out more than $21 billion to lottery winners, people who simply had a dream and bought a ticket. Lottery.com makes it even easier to play and track winnings. Download the Lottery.com app and get your first ticket for free. So go ahead, dream on. What would you do if you won? Go to Lottery.com to learn more.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
All your favorite music, all your favorite stations, all free. That's iHeartRadio. All your favorite music.
This is Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones.
Hi, this is Mick Jones of Foreigner on iHeartRadio.
And iHeartRadio is all your favorite stations. Thousands of the best radio stations from across the country. Plus, iHeartRadio is free. Download the app today. All your favorite music, all your favorite stations, all free.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I gotta tell you, what's going on this week only in El Paso, Inc.
El Paso businessman Billy Abraham is grilled on the witness stand about his debts and his downtown buildings.
Also in the Inc., two Burgess High School seniors have launched a nonprofit to help students in need.
And the Sunland Park Derby for Dummies. Everything you need to know about a great day at the races.
Just bring money. El Paso's premier business journal is El Paso Inc. It's available for home and business delivery.
You can subscribe online at elpasoinc.com or call El Paso Inc. at 534-4422 to subscribe.
Sunday on ABC 7 Extra, El Paso's past and future come full circle. Refurbished streetcars are about to make their return to the Sun City. City Rep. Peter Swarsbine joins host Stephanie Guardian to talk about how the project came together and what happens next Sunday night after the news.
The program is live and interactive. You can send in your comment or questions via email, Facebook, Twitter, or just give them a call. Stephanie Guadian hosts ABC 7 Extra, Sunday night at 10:35 on ABC 7.
And who is on line one? We'll find that out in a moment. Bill Hell is in, Hellman's in person, so yes. We're going to talk to him right now. The Hills Building, what do you get? You own that, you said. You're part owner.
Yeah, I'm one quarter owner.
I'm
one quarter owner with some other partners. My business partner in In-Situ Architecture, Edgar Lopez, and a couple others. So what we're going to do with it is we are going to turn it into a true sort of mixed-use redevelopment, which when we first started looking at this building, we were exploring it and realized even though it wasn't represented on Trost drawings, which we have copies mm-hmm. of, that Trost built it to have floors added to it.
Oh.
Oh.
So it has an attic in it, and the columns are all stubbed up in the attic. And,
yeah.
And
ready to build up.
Ready to build up.
How many floors are you going to go?
We hope to add as many as 5 floors to it. Right now it has 2 above ground and a basement.
Now, several buildings downtown were created this way. Trost
yes.
did that at the Muir Building.
That's right.
And the Caples, right? Originally.
The Caples had 2 floors added to it. The mm-hmm. Mulligan Building, which we did, had 1 floor added to it. That wasn't Trost. That was Broughton and Liebert.
And also the El Paso Museum of Art, the old bus station, was built to put a hotel on top of it with 12 more stories. That's what I understand.
So anyway, obviously it wasn't built to today's code, so we would have to do some structural retrofitting to take it up. But that's our intent, is to take it up so that we'll have essentially some commercial ground floor mercantile
yeah.
space. We'll have 2 floors of office space, which will be the home of In-Situ and Root Architects and our, you know, our future.
What's the address of that?
It's in the 200 block of San Antonio, and also it faces both San Antonio and Texas.
Yeah.
Okay. It's midpoint in the block between Mesa and Oregon. And so we have 2 great street facades because
yeah.
it goes all the way through the block. And so on the top of our building, we're going to have 3 or 4 floors of apartments.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, are you going to live there, I'm guessing, at some point?
Yeah, well,
maybe.
If I play my cards right, I may reduce my commute to an elevator ride.
Oh, that is
very
so
nice.
Way cool, way cool.
Very
so
nice.
Now you've also taken on the Plaza Hotel.
Yeah, so we did a lot of pre-development work for Foster's Group, trying to help them get it to the point where the ball starts rolling, and now that ball's been rolling for a year and a half. If you've been downtown lately, you've seen that fences have gone up and Jordan Foster Construction is starting to mobilize in the buildings for formal construction. So we are the local consulting architect with Cooper Carey Architects, who are a great hospitality design firm that was hired. They're out of Atlanta. And we went through about a year of design with them.
Now, you mentioned Jordan Foster. Joe Gomez can't be far behind.
Yeah, Joe Gomez is probably out there listening.
Of course he is.
Hey, Joe.
You're doing great, Joe.
I saw Raymond Schumacher on my live feed also watching.
Well, the whole thing, you seem to be the go-to guy these days, downtown stuff.
We're involved in a lot. But that's because we're there and we're invested in it. And we're our office is in the center building, which is part of Foster's Foster's office complex.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best place to be. It's just, you know.
You're doing great stuff, dude.
Well, yeah, you know and you appreciate the history. And you're ready to take that history and move it into the future.
And we've always felt like if we're going to, you know, if we're interested in being involved in it, we got to put our money where our mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we rented, you know, in the best restored historic office building downtown.
You designed a lot of that space, didn't you?
We didn't do the original because that was before my time when they did the shell. I came in shortly after that originally to help Eric Pearson at the Community Foundation do their space.
Yep.
So we designed that space. And then we started doing tenant improvements. And since then, we've done most of the tenant improvements in the building, including our own office, which we've now been in almost 5 years. And then the next step is, you know, we started looking for a building to buy. We wanted to buy the Abdu building. We were bidding on that because that was one of our favorite downtown buildings.
It's a very cool building.
And Rita Asfahani and I are actually helping them work on that building next door. And so that's our next door neighbor to the Hills Building. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, okay.
The Hills Building, I had done some preliminary work on a year or so prior, and then we realized that, you know, the owners might be willing to sell. So we approached them and made an offer and bought it.
And that was where a Tom Lee studio, or main studio downtown?
Yeah, that's right. You can talk to Adair next week about that. But, yeah, I think on the second floor of that building, he had his studio for a number of years.
As I recall, that second floor has big windows.
It has huge, great daylight.
So he would have gotten great light in there for his studio. Very important.
Is this catty corner of the old State National Bank, or am I in the wrong block?
Well, it would be on San Antonio, sort of, but it's not catty corner because it's in the middle of the block.
Oh, so it's up a business.
It's, you know, on San Antonio side, it's next to that dress store that was refurbed.
Mm-hmm. Did Trost do that bank? It was State National?
I believe he did.
Yeah,
I think it's a fabulous old bank. Yeah. I want to see you get your hands on that, because when I make too much money in the lottery, I'm going to buy that building and ask you to deal with it. But I want to put a restaurant in the old vault.
That's the one you're talking about. It's a dress shop right now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. The old
State National. I love that building.
It had a fabulous.
It's so underutilized.
I want my hands on that, and I'm going to put a restaurant in the vault.
It will make an amazing restaurant.
In the vault. Yeah. Just in the vault downstairs.
Well, that could be the chef's table, right?
Oh, my God. Fabulous place. Probably pretty soundproof down there, too.
Yeah,
I would guess I would think so.
I mean, I was in it. The State National Bank used to sponsor the Little League baseball team I was on. So whenever we won something, we went down there and talked to Mr. Matkin around the big board table and got all impressed with each other. But that whole building, that whole block down there, that whole space, you're right. You're doing a major help to the renovation and rehabilitation of downtown, are you not?
We're just a small player among a lot of big players and others who are involved down there. When I chose to launch In Situ, it was because I saw the writing on the wall. I saw the things were starting to fall into place, and revitalization was coming, and we wanted to be involved in a significant way. So we just jumped in.
They can't kill all the old Trost buildings. There'll be some left for you to work on.
Of course. What we're going through is a natural progression that every city goes through, and once that redevelopment wheel starts going, you'll lose some buildings in the process. Mm-hmm. It happens in every city. You know, it happened in Buffalo with the Larkin building, Wright's Larkin building.
Yeah.
And that was sort of their high water mark, where they said, no more. We're not going to let this happen again to a building.
So we lost.
Ours is the Muir building.
The Muir building, and then the fire over in the other one.
Yeah.
But that John Wesley Harden.
That wasn't a Trost building to begin with, was it?
No, the Harden building.
But the downtown history is fabulous, and we're lucky it's still there. Why is it still there after 100 years?
So you know, at some point the wheel starts rolling enough that the historic buildings have a value, or have a redevelopment value, and then there's a market for them. And part of that's really helped in the last couple of years has been the adoption of the state historic tax credit on top of the federal tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can, you know, you've got an extra layer of money that you can bring in from the outside. And that's good for all of us, because that's not money that's local. That's coming from
the feds and the state,
and it's coming from outside El Paso to El Paso, and it's free money for our community.
One example is the building that Lane Gaddy's just finishing.
The A-Loft. Yeah, they're taking advantage of the Bassett Tower.
Bassett Tower.
Yeah.
And so that's about to be open, isn't it?
It should be soon. So A-Loft, Paso del Norte Hotel, the Old Camino, Plaza Hotel, all of those are taking advantage. And now Blue Flame are all taking advantage of both of those state and federal tax credits.
Is Blue Flame going to be only offices, or what's it going to be?
It's going to be affordable housing component that the Housing Authority of the City of El Paso is doing. They've recently purchased the building from Foster's Group.
Okay.
And so they're developing that with another developer from outside of town called Franklin Development. And we're working on that with their design team. We did all the pre-development work to help them get it to the point where it's rolling. And then so we're on the final design team there as well.
Another reason to thank Paul Foster. He saved that building from something else, whatever it could have been.
Yeah.
And now it's going back into this kind of reuse.
Yeah, I think he acquired that building as sort of a package when he bought the Mills building.
Very good guy. And thank you, Paul, for being the billionaire that we love.
Thank you, Paul.
That's right. Our favorite billionaire. Can we go back to the Plaza Hotel?
Yes.
We should take a break here at this point. Come back after the break and talk Plaza Hotel, because there's a lot to be done there as well, is there not?
There is, and we need to talk a little bit about a significant figure in national history, Conrad Hilton.
Oh, my. Oh, yes, at that hotel. All right, back in a moment. Shall we do this? Call us if you need to. Otherwise, take a look at Facebook. Sikio, 3, 2, 1, go.
What happened? You used to go hours without visiting the bathroom. Now it seems like you're constantly getting up to pee, and you're even getting up at night to go. This is not okay. Listen, the makers of Super Beta Prostate, the number one prostate formula, are introducing a new wonder pill, Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced, with three key ingredients that are great for your prostate. It's like taking three prostate supplements in one. To celebrate, we're sending free bottles to men who want to cut down on bathroom trips. Yes, your first 30-day supply is free. Pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-252-8940. Early research suggests that an ingredient in P3 Advanced may help support a normal prostate size. Combine that with a reduction in urges to pee, and you have a formula you'd be crazy not to try. Get P3 Advanced free. Call 1-800-252-8940. 1-800-252-8940. 1-800-252-8940.
Indeed. Used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got Bill Helm here for a few more minutes just to tell you real quick. Buy three, get one free. Coronado Prime Meats in North Mesa, Elmer's Restaurant in Montana, Sicali Imports on North Loop. A lot of people, War Eagle sells our videos.
DVDs, that's what you can get
DVD,
one free.
DVDs, yeah. And we give them away here. But the thing is, if you want to impress somebody out of town, give them one of these DVDs. They say, oh, my God, I forgot about El Paso. It does this. And that's, Bill Helm, that's what happened to me when I returned to El Paso. I had no idea what the history was. I started joining things and realized, oh, my God, this is.
Yeah, me too. I've been listening to this show for 20 years.
That's just it. You predate me. I've only, end of the month, I start my 18th year. But you've been listening back when Flo, Toll, and Leon did this show.
Yeah.
Oh, what? And they got me one day with their story on the Lost Padre Mine, because I knew that some of that as a kid.
And then one day, I was working for Richard Poe, doing advertising, and Flo Toll walks into my office, and she introduces herself, and I'm like, I know that voice.
That's her. That's that radio lady-o. And if you need to get involved in this show, please call Flo. We'll talk to you. But the thing about El Paso architecture, Bill Helm is here. You've done some major stuff already. You got any more biggies coming? I mean, you may not be able to tell us everything you can do.
Well, the Hilton.
You're gonna do.
Well, I can only tell you the stuff that's under construction. So, I mean, let's talk a little bit about Plaza.
Please.
So Plaza's under construction now. It'll be about a year at construction. There are going to be some amazing spaces built out in there. There's going to be restoring what was an original double-height lobby space is going to become a double-height, two-story-high tequila bar.
Oh, my.
There's going to be a rooftop bar and event space that you can rent out that'll be where the old penthouse level was, which Liz Taylor lived in for a little bit with Nikki Hilton. It's just going to be a great place for it's going to be like El Paso's living room again. And nobody's really been able to access this building for years, so it's really going to be a great contribution back to the center of town, the Placita.
Another thank you, Paul Foster.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
Yes.
God, I mean, every town needs a good billionaire.
Yep, and we got one.
Oh, my, that's fabulous what he's been doing. So that's coming back alive. The downtown area, what is your thinking in general? I mean, El Paso is being revitalized downtown big time, isn't it?
Yeah, we're in the middle of it now. Like everything is moving, and now with, you know, the news you just read, you know, Billy's buildings may be coming for sale, and there'll be investors buying those and moving forward.
Can you imagine the bidding on the steps? What they do it in a boardroom? They don't go out on the steps anymore. The buildings.
I don't think under the trustee it works like that. I think they have the ability to sell it under normal means or auction or whatever their choice is. But regardless, it'll be some sort of a negotiation in the court.
Well, he's got the Crest Building. He's got the
Capels.
Hey, Cape. Good God.
He's got the Toltec.
Oh,
yeah.
Amazing.
Oh, a gorgeous building.
Yeah.
That's Bill Helm, how do they find you? Bill H-E-L-M, otherwise known as William, Mr. William to you. But you have N-C-2-I-N, second word, S-I-T-U, as your name of your architectural firm.
Yeah, so you can find us on Facebook and C2 Architecture and C2ARC.com. That's A-R-C.com. You can find me personally on Facebook as William Helm.
Now, you're a legendary kind of guy. You like these symbols and things.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. So what are you? Oh, and on back to the Plaza Hotel real quick. It had a. I never was in that part. I was in the upper parts, but the lobby.
Yeah.
Does it have a basement parking?
No. No. They're going to build a new parking structure on vacant land behind it.
Next door.
To support it.
Well,
But historically, it didn't. It has a basement. It was built on top of what was the site of the Sheldon Hotel that burned down.
Right.
So I don't know if we have enough time to talk about it, but there's an amazing history around Conrad Hilton building that.
You got about a minute. Go ahead.
So Conrad, who was from New Mexico, started Hilton Hotels. This was his eighth hotel when he built it. And the way he built his hotels and the way he financed them was he would just do a land lease, so he wasn't spending money buying land. So he'd do like a 100-year land lease.
Oh.
And he did it on that site with a guy named Albert Mathias. And he nearly lost everything in the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
And this hotel is particularly special to him because he did lose everything. And after spending $1.75 million building that hotel, just like 3 years later, he's lost everything.
Wow.
But that hotel was foreclosed on by Mathias, the landowner,
mm-hmm.
because the holding company wasn't paying the bills. And they owed him $30,000. And he sold the hotel back to Conrad Hilton and a group of investors for $30,000. And then from there, Hilton rebuilt his empire out of
Interesting. I didn't know that. Bill Helm, thank you for coming in here, talking architecture here. We started out with Pottery House in New Mexico. Wendy Polk, thank you for being the co-host. Melissa Sargent's off next week as well. She'll be back after that. And you're coming back.
I'll come back. Yeah, this is fun.
Fair enough. And Bill Helm, thanks again for doing what you do in town.
Yes.
And also for what you're doing just in general for the history here. Everybody else, we're going to go to Crave on Wrestler for lunch. If you want to join us, buy your own lunch. The conversation is free.
Yeah.
EPHistory.com for details. Sergio, thank you in there. Shelley, thank you.
Thanks Everybody. For having me.
Next week, Bill Helm, thanks a lot. Take her easy, y'all. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.